held in the town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salipatica. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his Mighty Allen Art Players. Music with Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours, the Salipatica Singers, and the Town Hall Quartet. Political speeches on the eve of the big election by Uncle Jim Hawkins and Pop Mullen. And another amateur contest in Town Hall tonight. Right up the man. The big parade is marching down the street to the old Town Hall. Fred Allen's in the lead wearing his new going away outfit. And the Mighty Allen Art Players are carrying a great big banner that says, "Hollywood, here he comes." Behind them comes a couple of political candidates carrying soap boxes and water pitchers. Let's follow the crowd and see what happens. Everybody's going. Here they come, college graduates.
Now that you're out of college, son, what's the first thing you want to do?
Before I take off my cap and gown, Pa, I'm sitting down to the radio at Town Hall tonight.
Dentist patients.
Can't talk with this rubber gauze in my mouth, Doctor.
That's the idea. I want it quiet for the next hour, lady. It's Town Hall tonight.
Summer vacationist.
What a vacation. No drinking water, rotten food, and a million mosquitoes.
Well, this bungalow has one redeeming feature, Mary. Turn on that radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
We're just around the corner from the old town hall, folks. You can hear Fred's voice welcoming his customers from here. Listen.
Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. You're all welcome at the town hall, folks. Now, don't crowd there, please.
Oh, Mr. Allen.
Hello. Hello, Mrs. Fink. How is your husband's asthma?
Oh, he's killing me with some of his new wheezes.
That's right in, Mrs. Fink. You'll hear plenty of new wheezes on the inside if you'll hurry, 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 hurry,
hello
hurry.
Hello there, Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Swenson. Going to town tonight, eh?
Oh, you bet you. I got plenty of snuff. And am I hurt? Whoopee!
Go right in, Swenson. Single line going in, please.
Is it funny tonight, Mr. Allen?
As funny as a hyena's demise, lady. You'll die laughing. It's a big show on the inside. Hurry, hurry, hurry,
we're
hurry.
All set, Fred.
Okay, George, let's swing it.
Let's swing it. Keep it, make it happen. Swing it.
Presenting that picaresque purveyor of fun and poesy, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before letting you peek into the bunghole and our barrel of fun, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, it's ye old stogie shoppy, wants you customers buying the 5 cent cigars to light them outside of the store. Hodge says people smell the cigars burning and come in thinking he's put in a lunch counter and is cooking up a mess of Brussels sprouts. Hodge says what this country needs is more men who won't light a 5 cent cigar after they buy it. So much for Havana trivia, and now for the town hall news. How about the picture sheet, George? Can you turn out the light?
Here they go.
The projector starts. If I can get a word in edgewise. And we bring you the latest news of the week.
Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. New Brunswick, New Jersey. Professor of economics at Rutgers University says banking world needs psychologists to replace routine statisticians as bank heads. Town Hall News shows how system might work with bank psychologist handling new depositor. The scene, the Luxor Bank.
Good morning, sir. Luxor Bank Service.
I'd like to open a new account.
Very good. But you'll have to be psychoanalyzed before the bank can accept your business.
I have to show my mettle?
Figuratively, yes. Miss Flint, our psychologist, is right through this door.
Oh, thank you. Miss Flint?
Yes?
I'd like to open a new account.
Name?
Yes, and it's a dandy. Over T. Noggins.
Have you ever been psychoanalyzed before?
You mean had a gypsy feel of bumps on my head?
No, that's psychic shampooing. I am a psychologist.
Well, I'm not interested in religion. I just want to open a new account, $2.
Anyone with money today is open to suspicion, Mr. Noggin. The bank must be protected.
Well, confidentially, I'm an elk, if that will help.
The bank doesn't care to look at your teeth. I'm here to probe your subconscious. Now, did you have a dream that you were a ship's captain?
Oh, yes. Two nights running.
What did you do?
A second night, I took a telescope to bed.
Why were churches glad to see zippers replace buttons?
Well, you can't put a zipper in a collection box.
Now, do you use a shoehorn putting on your stocking?
Oh, can't I just open the account without the crossfire?
I'm afraid not. According to our bank quiz, Mr. Noggin, you have the mind of a 10-year-old boy.
Can't use my business, eh?
No, we do not cater to children.
Well, I guess I'll take my $2 and make whoopee.
10 years old mentally, and you're going to buy liquor?
No, I like my age. I'll buy lollipops.
Topeka, Kansas. Recent Kansas prison mine revolt convinces state authorities throughout the country that penal systems need reforming. Town Hall News shows what prison life may be like if inmates are accorded better service. The convict of tomorrow arrives at the jail.
A new prisoner to register, Warden.
Oh, show him in, Duffy.
Come in, Scarnos.
Okay, punk.
Welcome to Biltmore Jail, Scarnos. I'm the warden.
Hiya, Ward. You got me a reservation?
Why, yes. The district attorney called me personally.
Oh, a great guy, the DA. Hey, how's your golf course here?
A 9-hole layout. You'll like it, Scarnos.
Oh, to get a suite out of a course at San Quentin. The 18th hole's a tunnel.
Now, what about yourself? Do you want a shower or tub?
Just a sink. Washing's a waste of time for me. I always dries dirty.
Any special service?
Yeah, no phone calls before noon, and nobody for autographs unless I'm in the mood.
Everything will be taken care of, Scarnos. Now, here's your key. Duffy will show you to your cell.
Oh, thanks, Warden. It's a pleasure to check in.
Thank you, Scarnos. I hope you'll be with us a long time.
I'm doing 20 years.
Wow, that's some sentence.
20 years ain't no sentence, that's a paragraph.
Philadelphia, PA. Members of local opera company go on strike for higher wages and threaten to form union. Town Hall News shows what might happen if characters went on strike during performance of Rigoletto. The scene, the Duke of Mantua's boudoir.
Beppo, where is that servant?
I'm here, Your Excellency.
Buckle on my sword, Dulwich.
I am on a strike, Excellency. The Sword Bucklers Union has called out all sword bucklers until a living wage is paid for buckling.
Bah! This is treason, Beppo. Fetch my doublet.
Your doublet isn't back, Excellency. The doublet cleaners walked out this morning.
Gramercy! I can't elope in my underdoublet. It is indecent.
It is, Excellency.
Summon my court jester, Rigoletto. He will turn my troubles to laughs.
The jesters are on strike, too.
Where is Rigoletto?
The buffoon's local, Venice number one, called Rigoletto out this noon.
A pox on unions! I will finish this opera if I play every part myself.
You are a scab duke, Excellency. Until you join the Duke's Union, we must strike.
Then strike. As long as I have my quartet, you cannot ruin Rigoletto. Tell them to sing.
But your quartet is picketing the palace. I will draw the shade. Listen.
The quartet from Rigoletto is on strike for the dark. If we don't get conditions that we like, if we don't get more dough, we'll go to sing in blue as well as sing in radio. I say we'll go.
Down.
What's the matter?
Well, you guys can't say whoa unless you join the Teamsters Union.
Once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. Washington, D.C. President Roosevelt's new book, new bill, Increasing Income and Inheritance Levies, brings hope to the rank and file. We cannot bring you the rank at these prices, ladies and gentlemen, so we bring you the file. The file.
Thank you. And now, those of you who were here last Wednesday night, remember, the tiny Ruffner asked our old friend, Mr. Black, the druggist from across the street, to sort of look after Tiny's job while he's gone. Now, we're ready for you right now, Mr. Black.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Well, I'm going to do something that my young friend Tiny couldn't do to save his life. I'm going to tell about a personal experience of 30-odd years ago. I was just a young man myself then. One day, my father was complaining about his health. Said he felt out of kilter, sort of logy and listless. And we ran into our family doctor right out there in the street. Father began to explain his symptoms, and our doctor said, "Now, look here, Charlie, don't get all worried about yourself. Listen, there's a medicine over at the drugstore. It's called Salipatica. You get a bottle and drink 2 teaspoonfuls in a glass of water tomorrow morning." That was my introduction to Salipatica. Of course, it's only been recently that I knew why Salipatica was so helpful in cases where folks feel low, sick, headaching, and the like of that. I mean, it's because Salipatica, as Tiny says, is the laxative that both rids the body of poisonous wastes and combats acidity, building up the alkaline reserve that's so necessary to good health. And if I may quote Tiny further, have you a bottle of Salipatica in your medicine cabinet?
And the Ipana Troubadours, ladies and gentlemen, playing I Hate to Talk About Myself. I have been asked to make an announcement of minute importance, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Allen!
Oh, now wait.
Mr. Allen!
Now, order, please. If that's some poker player calling for chips, I'll be down there with a chip on my shoulder before you can put out the kitty.
Hello!
Well, sir, as I live and try to keep from feeling like the owner of a luggage shop with these bags under my eyes, if it isn't Portland.
Yes, as long as this is your last night until next fall, I came down to say goodbye again.
Well, I thought we straightened all of that out last week.
Well, tonight is goodbye, but positively.
All right, I won't disappoint you this time.
I hope not. Posse said goodbye in one chorus. You've been saying it 3 weeks and you're still here.
Well, I guess I'm slow, all right. You see, my great-grandmother was frightened by a snail.
Well, as long as you're really going, I brought you a little present.
That's very nice of you, Portland. Oh, what is it?
This little bottle of sunburn lotion.
Say, it is little, all right, isn't it?
Yes, if you're hitchhiking to Hollywood, your thumb is bound to get sunburned.
For my thumb, I get it. Now listen, I haven't any time to talk to you tonight. You know the folks in Bedlamville are electing a mayor to take over the town hall.
I know. Pop Mullen and Uncle Jim Harkins are in the front row waiting to make their speeches now.
It'll be a great campaign. Pop Mullen is so deaf even he can't understand what he's talking about.
Gosh, that'll make it unanimous.
And the other candidate, Uncle Jim, talks with a drawl. His mouth always reminds me of a slow leak.
Well, I call him up here on the stage?
Yes, we may as well get it over with.
Oh, Pop!
Not too loud.
Uncle Jim! I'm right on deck, Portland.
Hi, Uncle Jim. Where's Pop? Did he fall asleep down there?
Poor Pop is deaf. I'll call him again.
Am I wanted on the phone? What's going on?
Aren't you in this campaign?
Champagne? No, thanks. None of that sissy milk for me.
Not campaign. Champagne!
Oh, champagne, eh? It's late, yes. Mighty pretty country up there, too.
Pop's so deaf, you've got to syringe your conversation into him with a needle.
Well, how's it going? Am I elected yet?
Not yet, Pop. You haven't made your speech. Speech!
You're darn tootin' he's a leech. My opponent's nothing but a flea. He's so low he'd live on the underside of a dog.
Now, listen, old Thundermouth. You may be gunpowder down your lunch wagon, but you're just talcum round me.
We'd better start the speeches, Mr. Allen.
And if they'll shut up, I'll introduce them.
Hello, citizens. My opponent is the meanest man in Bedlamville. He put the brakes on the baby carriage if he seen Mrs. Dion pushing them quintuplets uphill.
Now, don't get excited, Pop, or I'll separate you from that cane so fast you'll think you're an apple being picked off a stem.
Now, boys.
Noise is right. Quiet, Harkins.
Now listen, Bob, both of you keep quiet. Sit down. You too, Portland. We'll start this rally. Okay, Peter. Thank you, folks. As you know, Pop Mullen and Uncle Jim Hawkins here are running for mayor. And the winner in this election will take over the town hall shows for the summer. Tonight, they are delivering their closing campaign speeches. Pop and Uncle Jim have both given the best years of their spines to the Cracker Barrel.
Hear, hear.
What is it, lady?
Don't forget Mrs. Goldberg's kosher sandwich shoppy, serving corned beef on rye and ham on the QT.
This is a political meeting, madam.
It never hurts to advertise, but is. Thanks for the use of the crowd.
Now, never mind your corned beef, Mrs. Goldberg. Just hold your tongue. And now, let us have it quiet, if we will, please. And now, ladies and gentlemen, your first speaker and candidate for mayor tonight is Pop Mullen.
Get up, Pop, it's you.
Hey?
It's you.
You what? I ain't that bad, am I?
Tell them about your platform.
Folks, I've been running my lunch wagon, the bell of the gutter, 20 years. But as long as I'm in politics, I'm offering the wagon to Captain Henry and his troop until his new showboat's ready. Hey, what's that noise, Rain?
No, it's applause. They're clapping.
Yapping? I'll do the yapping. If I'm elected, folks, I will guarantee... platform, folks, and a vote for me is a vote for just that. I thank you.
Gosh, nobody heard what Pop said.
He'll probably win. And now, folks, Pop's opponent, a man who needs no introduction. He'll talk to anybody. Uncle Jim Hawkins.
Thank you, folks. I'm not promising much. Not going to raise your taxes. I can't even raise my own. I'm not here to make you share your wealth. Why, if anybody can change a dime, I'm willing to share my wealth with him right now. My platform is bigger and better amateur night. Elect me and I'll make the town hall the joy spot of town. I thank you.
Oh, boy. Uncle Jim is better than the kingfish.
He didn't start a filibuster. That's something.
I wish I knew who was going to win the election.
Well, perhaps you can dig up a cheap gypsy and find out.
I think I'll get a pinwheel.
A pinwheel can't tell you who's going to win.
No, but it'll show which way the wind is blowing.
Wee, I get it. So long, Uncle Jim. So long, Pop.
Hey, speak up, son.
Tell Pop the rally's over, will you, Portland?
What's new, Purdy?
Nothing, Pop. Just tally ho.
And now that the politicians have had their say, ladies and gentlemen, I turn the platform over to our druggist, Mr. Black.
Thank you, Fred. Folks, I have at home a number of books on the care of the teeth and gums. The other night, I decided to go through them and find some facts that would interest you. Now, of course, you know that Ipana toothpaste is made to be used in massaging the gums, as well as in brushing the teeth. But is the care of the gums important, you may ask? Here's what a famous dental authority says.
Everything depends on the healthy condition of the gums.
Not much question about that, is there? Now, we say that the gums need more exercise. Most of the foods we eat are soft, and they don't provide enough exercise for our gums. So we suggest that you massage your gums carefully with Ipana toothpaste each time you brush your teeth. Do the authorities approve of gum massage? Well, here are the words of a famous writer on dental health.
Gum massage should be a part of the routine of mouth care. It permits the influx of more pure blood, giving nutrition to the teeth and the surrounding gum tissues.
And there, folks, is the whole story. Just as it is important to brush your teeth with Ipana to keep them bright and sparkling, it is also important to massage your gums with Ipana in order to stimulate and strengthen them, keep them firm and hard. That's why I believe there should be a tube of Ipana on the shelf of every medicine cabinet. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Black. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Town Hall Quartet dedicates its number to all Sunday drivers. The number down the old back road.
Hello there, hi.
Hey, oh, hi, Cyrus.
Hey, what do you give your hoss for the boss?
Serpentine.
Goodbye, hi.
Goodbye, Cy.
Get along, you. Come on.
Rachel, Rachel, I've been a-thinking what a great thing it could be.
We used to take the horse and buggy
down the old back road. The family stew is stewing. There's a brand new batch of homebrew brewing down the old back road. Down the old back road. The cows that moo are mooing. And the farmers, they're all up and doing down the old back road, where they make their calls and their overhauls. What a life!
Down the new mown hay,
where they know their bees and still eat peas with a knife. Hear the horses neigh down the old back road. There every cheek is rosy, and you'll even find a kitchen cozy down the old back road, way off in farmer
right,
land,
Becky?
Where life and air is
grand.
When we stay up till 9 o'clock.
They've never heard of Edison. They have no need for medicine.
When Duke and Lizzie's rattled by, that's a big red letter day.
It's a light road
and a long road.
It's the right road
and a wrong road. It'll never be a one-way street.
It's a real road
and a rough road.
Wooden wheel road
and a tough road. And a wagon load of weed and a wagon load of whatnot down the old back road.
They still light lamps that flicker.
And the cider's got a kick like liquor
down the old back road.
The pigs that squeal are squealing.
And you'll see some real Virginia reeling
down the old back road.
There's a farmer there with a daughter fair, what a gal.
Spends the whole darn day
making deep dish pie for the passers by.
Just a pal.
So the salesmen say down the old back road.
We now ain't never seen no lighthouse, and we don't know yet who's now into the now White House.
Hi,
Sy. Hey, what was it you said you give your house for the box?
Turpentine.
Well, mine died. Old mine.
Down the old back road.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news, joyous tidings, news that will make you want to stand up and cheer. Tonight, the Mighty Allen Odd Players present their last performance of the season. Such popularity must be deserved. Tonight, they offer, as the last nail in their coffin of oblivion, a little homespun drama of hillbilly life entitled The Mountain Bride, or A Short Wife and a Merry One. Okay, Peter.
Hey, Paul! Paul! Oh, Paul!
Oh, quit pawing me, will you? I'm right here, ain't I?
What you doing, Pappy?
See for yourself. I'm sewing a mosquito net seat here in the seat of these chair overalls for the summer. Mosquito net in the seat for the summer.
You expecting company, Pappy? Gosh, we ain't seen nary a soul around here since Ma run away with that drummer.
He want no drummers, he was a one-man band. It's been mildly lonesome, chair, son, without no women folk handy.
Who all is this chair company you're expecting?
Well, I was calculating to give you a potent surprise, son, but I reckon I can't hold me in. You know that old man, Tattered Bone, down yonder in the valley?
Sure do, Pappy. You mean him with a great big house?
Oh, Lord, it's a castle. He's got two rooms in it. One for the family and one for the pigs and cattle. Well, I hear it is getting crowded in there.
Crowded in a two-roomer? Oh, shucks, Pappy, you're having me on.
No, ain't another, Zeke. One of his sows had a big litter, extra special. So I told him I'd help him out.
Well, are you going to take one of them pigs off in his hands?
Well, not exactly. I'm going to marry his daughter, Elvira. You're going to have a new ma, son. And don't you let me catch you beating her, except in self-defense. You hear me?
Why, Pappy, you can't get hitched. You got to get a lawyer and divorce Ma first. That's a law.
Ain't no law but gravity. I know what's going on. I don't need no lawyer for no divorce. I just throwed your Ma's shoes down the well.
Gosh. Gee, I wish I could get me a wife.
Oh, see, you're too young to be thinking of marrying.
Oh, I ain't nothing.
Oh, you're too. Oh, shucks. I didn't marry your Ma till I was 12. Of course, we was keeping company, sort of sparking like, for 4 years prior.
Pappy, I reckon that must be old man Vaughn with your new bride.
Yep. Just a minute, sir. Now, hurry, Zeke. Hand me that there necktie. Gotta tie these here britches up.
Yeah, you beat that.
Come in.
Howdy, Ellen. Howdy, Zeke.
Howdy, Vaughn. Howdy, Elvira.
Howdy do, say howdy do to the folks, Elvira.
Howdy, folks.
Oh, gosh. She's mighty cute, ain't she, Pappy?
Oh, shucks, no way.
Elvira, powerful smart, too. She can count up till six.
Won't do her no good to put on showing off round here. There ain't gonna be but three of us, Char.
Well, Ellen, it was mousy neighborly of you to be taking her off in my hands.
Yep, reckon I'll just have a simple little wedding like. No society ceremony with shotguns and sex.
Oh, Pappy, can I kiss the bride now?
No, now here, yeah, no, you can't. Not now, nor later, neither. That's how I lost your ma.
Oh, shucks. I don't never have no fun.
Oh, shut up, Zeke. Now, Elvira, I want you to know you're getting a good provider. I'll provide plenty of work for you.
Oh, shucks, I can't wait.
When you marry me, girl, you're getting a husband who is gentle and kind as an off lamb. And if you don't appreciate it, I'll just kick the heel bejeepers out of you, girl.
Now, you got to be careful, Alan. She's high-strung and she bruises mouthy easy.
Yeah, so much for details. Now, sir, hand me that Bible, son. We'll get this mess over with. I got hand to do.
The chap is, Pappy.
Oh, shucks. This ain't the Bible. But this is that mail order catalog. What it's doing in the house?
What's the difference? None of us can't read nohow.
We can pretend, can't we? I don't like to do nothing slipshod like. Now, Chairborn, here, Tattered, take this chair catalog, read off some of them pictures.
All right, give it charge.
You found a place you need? Yep. Get the colored pictures, we'll have a fancy wedding there. Now, give me a hand, Elvira, the clean one.
Oh, okay, and Zeke's got it.
I'm just holding it for you till you're ready, Papa.
Well, here, give it charge. I'm ready now. Go on, Bone. Read off them pictures.
One plow, one horse's car, and one whiffle tree.
You say I do, Elvira.
The windmill?
Wait, stop the wedding, Pappy.
Now, here, hush up, Zeke. What Bone is putting together, child, let no man make asunder.
Yeah, but look, Pappy, through the window. It's Ma, that one-man band of Santa back.
Why, that double-crossing off-key polecat. He can't do that to me.
You better do something, Alan.
You are here. You wait in car. I'll be right back. Hey, Lord, hey!
Hey, Quincy, I'll come back.
You come back. You ain't no prodigal. Take your fatted calf and get.
Come.
I'll tell you how come. Our sons is divorced. I thrun your shoes in the well. Now get.
Oh, Pappy, no.
Surprise, Pappy. We uns is married.
Yeah, what's going on? Where's Winslow? Yeah. Who is married?
Well, Alan, I see your wife's come back, and I didn't want to Elvira back to home with me, so I up married her to your Zeke.
And you left me holding the hag, eh? Well, I reckon I'll have to take you back. Come on, Ma.
No, but I ain't going to go back till you fetch my shoes out of that thou well.
Oh, come on. You never wears them nohow.
No, but I uses them shoes to play ping pong. You go get them now.
Yeah, you go on now, Alan. Right away, go on and get them.
Under the pressure of the circumstances, all right.
You want us for to lure you down the well with a rope, eh?
I don't need no rope. I'll just dive me down head first. I can swim.
But, Pappy, I want to tell you,
you
that...
You can't tell me nothing. I'm an old well swimmer. I swim not horizontal, but vertical. Up and down I swim. Watch me. A-doing you two-timing pup. A-doing your own father out of his bride. Ain't no good. Your ancestors before you want no good. On your mother's side, of course.
But I want to tell you...
Shut up! Here I go, diving into the well.
Happy landing, Papa.
Stand back. Look out for the splash. One, two, three.
Oh, help. I'm kicking the bucket.
Well, that's what I was just trying to tell you, Pappy. The well dried up last week.
Beginning heart becomes a part of mercy.
Thank you. You just heard the Arcana Troubadours and the Salapatica Singers playing and singing Paris in Spring. And now, Mr. Black, looking at my program here, I see it's your turn again.
I hope you all won't think I'm passing the buck, as you might say, but Henry Jennison told me something when he got in today from a 3 weeks business trip. At least he says it was business. And I'd like you all to hear it. I've told him I was going to call on him, so he needn't look surprised. Come on, Henry.
Well, I confess I don't relish this job much. I'm no public speaker, but I'd do it for you, Black, if for no other reason than for the favor you did me. 3 weeks ago, I happened to tell our old friend Mr. Black that I was going off on one of those trips. You know, irregular meals, late hours, days full of work and play, different kinds of water every few days, maybe too much food and all that. Well, he said, be prepared, Henry. Take a bottle of Salapatica along. Whenever you wake up not feeling quite up to par, take 2 teaspoonfuls and a glass of water. What's that for, says I? Why, it's the laxative, says he, that will cleanse wastes from your body and combat the acidity in your system. I'll try it, says I, and I did. I took Salapatica frequently. Well, it's been a grand, successful trip. And believe it or not, I feel better today after those 3 strenuous weeks away from home than I felt when I left. And I say, if you're going off on a trip, any kind of a trip, take Salapatica along.
Much obliged, Henry.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves face to face with our weekly amateur contest. Tonight, we welcome again...
Mr. Allen!
Yes, what? You've been on once. You're not coming back, I hope.
No, here's a telegram for you from Boston.
A telegram from Boston? Wow, look at that. A telegram from... was signed by over 200 people in Boston. Isn't that nice? Wishing us goodbye and hoping that we have a pleasant summer. See it signed by Governor Curley and Mayor Mansfield. Don't you think that you should thank the people up in Boston?
I do thank them, and I appreciate it.
Well, it wasn't very loud, but I guess they heard it.
And I, too, I want to thank Governor Curley and Mayor Mansfield of Boston and our many other friends who have so kindly thought of us tonight. It certainly is a tribute to the excellent financial status of Boston and the state of Massachusetts to note also that the telegram didn't arrive collect. I think that's a very nice thought. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, getting back to our amateur show, we welcome another group of eager girls and boys, poised to compete for our first prize of $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater starting on Friday next. And our second prize, $25 in cash. We are asking you folks to decide the winners by your applause, which will be recorded on the Johns Manville applause machine here on the stage. The 3 acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later so that you may select your final winner. Now, tonight, first, we greet Mr. Jimmy Timmons. It's all right to call you Jimmy, isn't it?
Yes.
I can say James if you'd rather put on the dog. Jimmy Timmons, according to my... you are a maestro of the ukulele, Mr. Timmons.
Yes, sir.
And according to my little form sheet here, you are a bartender. Is that right?
Right, sir.
You're a bartender?
Yes, sir.
Shake, Jimmy. I'm always happy. I'm a bartender. I certainly am always happy. You know, I have a great deal of respect for bartenders. They never give me much credit, but I don't know. Bartending, after all, is a form of liquid interior decorating, and I think a good... Things are certainly... Have you been a bartender for long?
Oh, about 3 years.
Have you really? You certainly must know all of Sweet Adeline by now. Or isn't it one of those kind of places? Things have certainly changed, though, for bartenders. Imagine years ago, Diamond Jim Brady would eat 80 or 90 oysters and then drink champagne out of the leading actress's slipper. Imagine today sitting down and filling up gobbo sandals with champagne. Well, what are you going to play on the ukulele for us, Jimmy?
Baby, won't you please come home?
Baby, won't you please come home? Dedicated to a man outside of your saloon? All right, go right ahead.
Baby, won't you please come home? Your little daddy's all alone. I have tried in vain, never no more to call your name. Since you left, you broke your daddy's heart, and I never thought we'd part. Every hour of the day, you'll hear me say, baby, won't you please come home to me? Baby, won't you please come home? Every hour of the day, you'll hear me say, baby, won't you please come home?
Thank you. That was swell, Jimmy. That was Jimmy Timmons playing Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a little difficulty at the microphone here. Mr. William McCullough of Firth Amboy. Is that right, Mr. McCullough?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
You have a table full of bells laid out here. Are those Swiss bells, are they?
They are, Mr. Allen, Swiss bells.
You're a Swiss bell ringer, are you?
Yes, sir, I think so.
And you live in Firth Amboy?
I do, yes.
It's a far cry from Swiss bell ringing to Firth Amboy, isn't it, sir? How never the twain shall meet. Bell ringing has sort of disappeared in recent years, hasn't it?
Yes, not so popular as it used to be.
It isn't. I've noticed that most of the bell ringing today is done by Fuller Brush Man and little boys on Halloween. Have you been playing the Swiss bells for many years, have you?
Yes, I have, Mr. Allen.
Your life has been sort of a chime wave, huh?
Perhaps.
What are you going to play? Anytime, if you can think of something better to say, I'd be happy to have you go ahead, Mr. McCullough. What are you going to play for us on the bells?
I'm going to play a real-life panda number, The Sunshine of Your Smile.
Sunshine of Your Smile, dedicated to Icanna. You brush up on it, Mr. McCullough. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Al Bianco. Is that right, Al?
That's right, Mr. Allen.
And you are a salesman?
No.
Aren't you a salesman?
No, I worked as a bartender for a good while.
Oh, you worked as a bartender? Oh, isn't that a shame? I had three bartender jokes, and I used them all up. This is a pretty kettle of whatever we're using for fish, isn't it? I wish you were a salesman. I often wondered,
I was a clerk.
Oh, you were a clerk. You weren't a salesman at one time or another, so I could get this joke in.
Oh, yes, I worked
you were. Now that you recall. Yes, well, you're a great help, Al, and I appreciate it. You're a Yes, with the roar of the ocean, it's something like the Atlantic City Minstrels going on. If I could see. No idea. I've always wanted to see one of those traveling salesmen to ask them, well, where those guys get those stories. I've always been interested. Always wanted to ask one what would happen if a salesman knocked at the door and the farmer's son opened the door. It's always intriguing. Probably upset. Things are... It's too bad about that other bartender, Jimmy, getting in first. I'd have been all right. I had another joke about... let me see, what was it about? Drinking varies in different parts of the city. You know, on 10th Avenue, they make up the cocktails and use cranberries instead of cherries over there. What they use for liquor, nobody knows yet. But on Park Avenue, it's very refined, you know. They put starch in the beer so the collars will stand up nicely. I should have thought of that sooner. We'd have said, what are you going to sing? You are a baritone, Al, huh?
Yes.
What are you going to sing for us?
Soon.
Soon? Well, right away, and we'll save that much time. Thanks.
Soon, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, there'll just be two of us. Soon, you and I will borrow the moon, or just the two of us. Sweetly and so discreetly, we'll be completely alone. No mother world, only our own. Now we must be contented with dreams about the two of us. Yet we can have our sweet tender dreams that will come to us. For presently, unpleasantly, our hearts will be in tune. So soon, maybe not tomorrow, but soon.
Thank you. That was Al Bianco from New York City, singing soon. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Marie Marlowe. Would you rather stand on this side, Miss Marlowe, and watch the piano player? That handsome devil at the keys there. Miss Marlowe, you are an Italian soprano, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you been studying music, have you?
Well, I have,
ma'am. One of us should do something. You're so short, I can't look over the... Did you study in Europe or in this country?
In this country. Yes.
Oh, in this country? I guess the methods vary greatly between the teaching in Europe and teaching in this country. The methods are very different. In this country, you have to pay in advance. I think it makes quite a difference. What are you going to sing for us, Miss Marlowe?
A Little Bit of Heaven. That's how Ireland got its name.
A Little Bit of Heaven. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Nestled on his ocean,
gentlemen. A young boy has arrived at the microphone carrying a concertina. That is a concertina. Oh, pardon me. Your name is Al Whitehead, isn't
it? That's right, Mr. Allen.
New York City?
Well, New York and Rhode Island, that is, originally.
Oh, I mean, it's through Providence, after all, that you got to New York. You have an English concertina, or is that instrument you have there?
That's correct.
They're sort of rare today, too, aren't they?
Well...
Not as rare as the Swiss bells, but I mean they are.
And steak, sort of.
You very seldom see them. They're played by, similar to an accordion, aren't they?
That's right.
The fingering is different, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the fingering is altogether different. There's 56 keys in the treble clef.
56 keys in the treble clef?
That's right.
And it looks, when you're playing it, it looks as though somebody's applauding someone with a Japanese lantern in his hand. That's the best. It's only... the best way to describe the size of the concertina, a very delightful instrument, by the way, is to say that if a man died and left an accordion, by the time the new inheritance tax was taken out, the heirs would have a concertina or less. What are you going to play for us, Al?
Well, I'm going to play a little specialty number of my own. An imitation of the church bell, the striking of the clock, the chiming of the clock, and the organ playing as you enter the church.
All on the concertina.
All on this little instrument.
All right, thank you. Concludes our amateur contest, ladies and gentlemen. And now, Mr. Black, will you sustain this whirlwind pace while I look over the applause meter? Are you ready, Mr. Black?
All right, Fred.
Thank you.
A while ago, friends, I was telling you about the importance of exercising the gums. Well, what happens when the gums are not exercised? Often they grow soft and tender, and pink toothbrush develops. Pink toothbrush, you know, is a warning which, if neglected, may lead to serious mouth disorders. If you massage your gums with a pan of toothpaste, keep the blood circulating briskly, you can help prevent or correct this condition. I'd like to remind you again that these town hall shows are brought to you by two products of the Bristol-Myers Company, Ipana Toothpaste and Salopatica. I hope that you have both of these products in your home tonight, and if you haven't, that you'll soon get them. Ipana, Salopatica. Thank you.
you. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter confesses that the three acts you have received with greatest gusto this evening are Jimmy Timmons, Marie Marlowe, and William McCullough. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Hicks here to hold his hand over the heads of the different acts as I call the names so that you folks can make your final decisions and select the two winners. Now, first, Jimmy Timmons, the bartender from New York City who played Baby, Will You Please Come Home on his ukulele, played and sang. Jimmy Timmons. Second, Miss Marie Marlowe, the little Italian soprano. And third, from Perth Amboy, Mr. William McCullough, who played Sunshine of Your Smile on the Swiss Bell. What does the applause meter tell us, Mr. Hicks?
Well, we're still working on it, sir. Just a second.
You got the results there? Thank you. First prize, ladies and gentlemen, $50, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City starting this Friday goes to Mr. William McCullough, the Swiss bell ringer, who played the Sunshine of Your Smile. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Miss Marie Marlowe, the little girl who sang a little bit of bell. Congratulations to both of you. And now Mr. Hicks, I know, has a word or two, if he stutters, for our radio audience.
Friends, we just want to remind you again that you who are listening to the Town Hall show at home can also vote for these amateurs. Perhaps in your judgment, one of the other amateurs should have been awarded a prize. If enough of you think so and will let us know about it, a duplicate prize will be awarded to the amateur you prefer. Just address a note or postcard to Fred Allen in care of the station to which you are now listening, naming the amateur you think should have won. And now Fred Allen has a few words to say.
Thank you, George. I just want to say good night, ladies and gentlemen, and goodbye for Portland and the mighty Allen R players, Jack Smart, John Brown, Minerva Pius, and Eileen Douglas. We'll all be back at the Old Town Hall in the fall. But we're leaving the hall in excellent hands for the summer. Don't forget, next Wednesday evening, the results of tonight's election will be announced, and the new mayor of Bedlamville will take charge of the Old Town Hall. More amateurs, more fun, more music. And now, thank you all for the many pleasant months that I've spent with my little company and your company. And good night for now, and goodbye for just a few weeks. Thank you.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.